He knew he was the instrument and child of God. He was sent to be man's example for all time, to teach how pure, and holy, and simple, and dignified, and useful, and beautiful life could be without any of the material aids of money or social position, to prove the individual continuity of life after death. But he did not come to save men from the results of their sins. It is a comfortable theory, but not true. Here we learn that every man has to earn his own salvation. Sin is a breaking of God's laws, and carries its own inviolable consequences, which must be worked out by each individual personally. You might as well set the law of gravity in motion and expect it not to act. Christ's followers claimed his death as a sacrifice for sin, for they naturally looked upon God only as the people of their day knew him, that is, as a tyrannical Jehovah whose altars ran with the blood of sacrificed animals. As man evolves, he gets nearer spiritual truth, and we know here that this is infinitely greater and more wonderful than anything ever yet told. One realizes the presentation of God usually taught on earth is utterly incorrect. He is not a glorified mortal sitting on a golden throne, not a vengeful nor jealous God, not, in a way, even a personal God to be propitiated to grant special gifts to a favored few. He is not finite, but infinite. But, because it is so difficult to realize so vast a fact, we feel on earth we want to locate and limit our idea of God to bring it within our understanding. God is everywhere and in everything, in the trees, in the flowers, in the air, and in the sunshine. God is all good, all beauty, all purity. God is not limited, nor existing only in the seven spheres, he is also in the space beyond, for he fills all space. The whole universe is of God, the planets revolve from the power of God within them, touched and supported by power without. God is creative, from him all life springs. Elemental man is a manifestation of God power through form, which in the lower creation is manifest in a different way, though he can deteriorate to less than they. All life as projected into human bodies is therefore a bit of God, and we are in consequence truly his sons and by that fact immortal. God works automatically. Those who live harmoniously with his laws can draw great power. They find too, in time, that soul satisfaction which brings the peace that passes all understanding. I don't only know this, but feel actually conscious of it. If you are a ray of the sun, you cannot mistake yourself for a tallow candle. This is why it is untrue and incorrect to teach men they are miserable sinners by birth. The body is not the man, his spirit is of God. However ignorant of the fact a man may be, his soul away in its dim consciousness knows this, and often in an emergency the spark divine asserts itself, and the man rises to the great occasion. It has been proved many times in this war. God's laws are so steady, so regular, so businesslike, they can operate to great advantage in commercialism or organization of any kind on earth, provided these things are brought into line with them. A day's work. You want me to give you details of a typical day of my life? You know there is no time here, that is only a limitation of the earth plane, so we will make it a day by your calculations, and suppose we begin at midnight, for that is when I come for you. You know, for I have often told you, how when your body sleeps your soul comes over here and we spend hours together, you have sometimes dimly remembered things that happened as in a dream. Thousands of people come over in this way every night, and are more awake and alive while here than on earth in their mortal bodies. To do this, people must be spiritually evolved to a certain degree. Well, we go together to various places. Sometimes we work on the third sphere among those who have just wakened in the spirit world, and are bewildered, and puzzled, and strange in their new surroundings. We explain to them where they are and bring their friends to see them. I know it seems curious to you that you should be able to do this even better than I, as you are still in a mortal body, but that is the very reason. You see, you are the halfway house, as it were. For along that little cord that connects your soul and body are traveling thoughts and desires of the world in which you live. You are therefore more in touch with the earth and bring its atmosphere with you, and so feel more familiar to one who has just come over. You are still controlled and limited by your Earth body while connected with it. Night before last, we were helping a boy whom we could not make realize his new condition. When his mother came, to whom he had been devoted, she had been in the spirit world 2 years. He burst into tears and said, "I know now I am dreaming, for my mother is dead and I shall never see her again." His mother put her arms round him and kissed him, and we left them together. The meetings and reconciliations here are wonderful and touching. You and I often hug each other for very joy and sympathy. On other occasions I take you to see one of the beautiful scenes in the higher spheres which I have described to you. We have been together to the Blue Country, where there are a series of wonderful mountains which impress one by their curiously calm grandeur, no rugged rocks, nor jagged outlines. The heights are majestic but smooth and rounded, and surround one on every side. As far as I can see, the color everywhere is blue of varying shades, from almost gray on the mountain tops to purple in the valleys, and every intermediate shade wonderfully blended in between. Color has wonderful properties. In this case, each color is confined to a certain particular locality. For a few miles away, everything is varied in the normal manner. There is also a pink country and a yellow one. You get these effects on Earth sometimes for a few minutes in the glow of a sunset. Blue is a spiritual color, pink a love condition, and yellow an intellectual one. These color effects help spirits, not by giving, but by stimulating the perception of those particular qualities. As you know, here in the Summerland, spirits are still learning and progressing, but are very far from perfection. Many come over here well developed mentally but lacking in spirituality. Others are very spiritual but require that mental quality which is necessary if their spirituality is to be more than a divine ecstasy, while some have neglected to cultivate. Along with these good gifts, enough of that love and charity which is essential to those who are willing to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill that law of Christ, which is the true way of progress. People on Earth are now recognizing the properties of color and are beginning to use it in a small way. It is useful for the cure of certain diseases, for it has a marked effect on mental conditions, and, as you know, various colored lights cause certain curious changes in plants and flowers. When it is time for you to return, I take you back and then go home for a rest. I bathe in the lake, and, refreshed, go either to Earth again to help on the battlefield, or if I am not required for that, I go on with my study of psychic Klaus. After this, it would now be your afternoon. I have some recreation and amuse myself. Later I go to look up friends on Earth. On other days I listen to music, which is beautiful here beyond description. It thrills one. You know, I used not to care very much about it on Earth before I came over. Tell Daddy when he plays the piano in the evenings, I see his music in colors all the time. Nearly all major keys are like primary colors. C and G specially look red and yellow, E not so decidedly, D, F, and R secondary. Colors such as mauve and green and certain shades of violet. B is white. The sharps and flats are varieties of these, they tinge of blended colors. The colors vary in relation to the other notes played. For instance, C sharp, though actually the same note on the piano, is different when used as D flat. Occasionally I talk to most interesting people, men who are noted on Earth and left their mark there as great statesmen, scholars, poets, musicians, teachers, etc. Of course, I should never have known them. Common differences of age, wealth, position, etc., would have made it impossible, but here there are no artificial barriers, and a community of interest is a sufficient bond of friendship. You say you are surprised some of the men I mentioned have not progressed higher. Well, they could have done had they so desired, but many are anxious to help those on Earth still, to see work and ideas through that they themselves originated. Others have remained to help their friends through this world crisis. When you get beyond the third sphere, contact becomes more difficult, and it is only when you begin to feel impersonal and have no direct interest left in people on the Earth plane that you desire to go on. Eventually these spirits will probably progress more quickly through this work, for as they give help to those below, it is also given to them, according to their needs, by higher spirits. The law of compensation works in this way even in your world, for there, if love is given unselfishly, generously, and wisely, it will be returned in greater measure by spirits in the higher life by thought and influence which will materialize according to the requirements of the earth plane. Meanwhile, life is very happy here and full of interest. Even the grief and pain of those you love and have left behind does not affect one in the old way, for one can see beyond the trouble of a day and know it is only for a little while. Various people, children, and affinities. What makes this place so interesting is the variety of the people in it, just as the world is interesting for the same reason. It would be very dull if human beings were all exactly of the same stereotyped pattern physically and mentally. I think that is what made the old idea of the conventional heaven so uninviting. Either you would have had to lose all individuality and become an angel to pattern, so as to be suitable to the environment, or else one would have to lose one's sense of humor, for can't you imagine the idea of one's friends, large and small, old and young, fat and thin, some with some knowledge of music, others with none at all, sitting, clad in white, playing harps. As a matter of fact, when we do eventually get to that heaven which I believe exists, we probably shall have become stereotyped to a certain extent, for we shall be so refined as to have become all spirit, and so nearer God. Probably our joy then may be in music, for it is, I suppose, the most exquisite sense, and even here it has held me thrilled and spellbound, and you know I am not musical, and could rarely rise to anything higher than a catchy, popular melody, or chopsticks, to which you so much objected. I suppose these ideas in the first place started through the visions of saints who did not realize they were seeing states afar off, and thought they were conditions soon after death. One amusing man I have met here is quite a crank in his way. He says he thinks, after having passed through the seven spheres of which we have heard, that spirits must pass on still farther, as otherwise even these places would be overcrowded eventually. He thinks they may go to the moon. He has no grounds for this theory. It is, he acknowledges, purely his own idea. If reincarnation is a fact, as I believe it is, then of course there would be no overcrowding, for so large a number of spirits are constantly returning for further earth experience. In any case, as it is probably several thousands of years away, there will be plenty of opportunity to study it farther on. I also know some men here who are very keen on engineering and are trying to invent labor-saving devices of every kind. They think it will be possible to invent tiny people, children, and affinities. Machines which will enable men to fly, not by sitting in an aeroplane, but by propelling each individual separately through the air, not high, just a little above the ground. It would require very great power, very much compressed into a small space, so that you could strap, say, a large knapsack on your back and sail along above the ground without fatigue. It may come someday, but not in your time, I think, Mum. Another man I know thinks moving pavements raise about 15 feet above the road, on the principle of the staircases at the tube stations, will be used in large and crowded cities. They would go in one direction on one side of the road and in the opposite on the other, with stairs and stationary platforms at intervals. There would be no attendance required, for no tickets would be necessary. The expenses would go on to the rates and it would be free to all, though I acknowledge the small boys would find it irresistible till they got used to the novelty of it. This would save a certain amount of vehicular traffic. There would still be the ordinary pavement below for those who wished to walk slowly or shop gaze. You want to know something further about the children who come over? You remember at first you were quite surprised when I described your brother John to you, and did not recognize him when I told you he was a grown-up man. You had always thought of him as still remaining a little child. He looks only about my age. Of course in earth life he would have been over 40. Here little ones grow up but never become old, for they have no cares and worries nor the pains of a material body to trouble them. Many women here care for these little ones. Some have left children on earth they loved, others, the childless, who love children, look after them. Every child, even if unwanted on earth, can find a loving mother here. Many an Earth mother comes over at night when her body sleeps to see her baby, and though with her limited conscious mind she may think of it as an infant always, her spirit mind knows the facts, as she will recognize when she herself comes here permanently. These children grow in soul and mind and body, which is just as strong and more substantial than an Earth body, for it is indestructible. They are all beautiful in varying degrees. They learn very quickly, for their minds are open. They have no consciousness that evil exists, so more readily absorb all they are taught here, and they very soon go on to the higher planes. While on the third sphere they return to Earth to play with children there. It is part of their education, and enables them to understand, and so later to help others still in the mortal body. As many children in the world are clairvoyant, they often see these spirit playfellows, and if they could keep this consciousness, it would often be a help to them in later life. Unfortunately, many grown-up people who do not understand these facts discourage the idea, and so in time the child loses this consciousness. The children here all see Christ, they seem to instinctively understand him and his mother. Having occupied a mortal body such a short time, they easily go back to the things of the spirit. Now you want to know what happens when one of a married pair dies young and the other lives to be old? Well, it depends to a certain degree on the life of the one left on earth, as to what extent death separates them. The few years of time will not actually make much difference. I will give you some examples of cases I know here, and explain through them what I mean. The actual soul does not age permanently, though it carries the impress of the body when it first comes over, but by degrees here, freed from material cares, the signs of age disappear and the spirit body looks like that of an adult in the prime of life and in perfect health. You can't tell by looking at a person in the ordinary way on the earth plane how their souls would look at first on release from the body. You might judge from the character, perhaps. I know a man here, let's call him Charles, who came over 14 years ago, leaving his wife. We never speak of widows here, to whom he was devoted. They were true affinities and spiritually developed people, and though not spiritualists professedly, she was so conscious of her husband's continued existence that she lived as far as she could as she knew he would wish. She neglected no duties, made no parade of her great grief, and studied in every way in order to be his mental and spiritual equal when she should rejoin him. She came over recently, and on this account looks as young as he does. I know another case of a different kind, let's call the husband Tom, of a young couple married at the beginning of the war. He was killed at the front a year after. His wife made a great parade of her grief, wore elaborate, expensive, and becoming mourning, and even contemplated suicide, but decided it was too painful. She then found she could get into communication with Tom. Eventually he was not permitted to return to speak to her, for she only wanted him to help her in various material ways, and made him unhappy with continual reproaches and grumbling. Being out of the physical world, he was no longer in a position to help her there, but she had no interest in spiritual or even intellectual things. Under these circumstances, her soul will not of course develop properly, and so will age for lack of care. She has married again, but Tom does not grieve. He quite understands they were unsuited to one another, and had they lived on earth longer together would soon have discovered it. There is no subject probably that requires to be considered with such care as this of spiritualism. You understand how essential it is to use your own judgment in the matter, and common sense in weighing all you are told. There are so many limitations to be considered, the sitters, the mediums, and the spirits, and these are very severe. In communicating, the spirit message comes first from the spirit, who has to concentrate to give it to the control, the spirit actually using the medium's organization, who has to impress it on the medium's brain to such an extent that the nerves and muscles of the mouth and tongue of the medium will respond to the action of the brain, and will speak the message as it has been given. I often think it wonderful how much does come through, when one realizes the many difficulties. The bias of the medium's mind, impressions from the sitter's subconscious self, unconscious telepathy from other minds, and so forth, all have to be taken into consideration. telepathy is not so easy as some people imagine. If it were, there would be no difficulty in satisfying any sitter who went to a medium, for they would only have to do some mind reading, whereas many go empty away. You say spirits so often through mediums say that the sitters have great work to do, wonderful talents, etc., and you can't understand it, as these people do nothing in particular eventually. Well, their spirit friends may see they have the capacity, as to whether they will make use of it is another matter. Just as in school a master may realize that many of his boys have exceptional talent in various directions, and may say so, it does not follow that they will do well in life, for it entirely depends on their use of their capabilities. By being told of their possibilities, their ambition may be roused to make special efforts. Try and develop your own psychic powers, if they are sufficient to make it worth your while for your own comfort, and certainly everyone should try and cultivate spiritual gifts. Of course, they are not synonymous terms. It is possible to be very psychic and not at all spiritual. Psychic talent is a gift, like music, painting, writing, etc., and like these can be used for beautiful and good things or the reverse. Everyone can learn to live in two planes, the material and the spiritual, to be a practical mystic, to know the truths and wonders and beauties of the life spiritual as well as to perform the duties and enjoy the pleasures of the life physical. Many people would be great in the highest sense of the word, if they would only believe that the source of unlimited good and knowledge is there to draw upon. The supply is unlimited, the only limitation being their own capacity. We know and remember in the spirit world everything that has happened in our earth life, that is, if we wish to remember we could do so, as the subconscious mind is so active here. If I could come and speak to you direct with my spirit mouth you would get any test you wanted, but as it is I have to operate through a strange brain and personality. People sometimes say, why does my loved one not come to me direct? The loved one probably does very often, but cannot make himself seen or heard, and if he could, might frighten his relatives if they did not understand. The controls chosen for mediums are generally children or other what we call uneducated people, because their brains are more or less blank and pliable, otherwise you can imagine it would add still further difficulties and limitations to communications. The spheres and the source of all power. Our bodies here are not made of ether, we call them that as they are the bodies in which we manifest on the etheric sphere. Your physical bodies are walking about on a physical plane, they are of the earth earthy. Though you call them physical they do not look like the earth really, they look like a thing apart. Our sphere is in the ether, resting on the ether, not on nor near the earth plane, nor interpenetrating the earth as some people think. Our spheres are built of and formed in ether, therefore you can call them spiritual or etheric planes as you like. My body as I exist on that spiritual or etheric plane is a spiritual or etheric body, just as my physical body was termed physical when I was functioning in the physical plane. We derive the name of the body from the plane we are on, physical body for physical plane, astral body for astral, and etheric body for etheric plane. My present body is made of chemicals, and gases, and atoms, atoms certainly of a finer kind than one gets on the earth plane. These are held together in much the same way as the atoms of the physical body, but this body does not disintegrate in the same way as the physical one does, because the life on the third sphere is sure to be as long and perhaps many times longer than the one on the earth plane. There is something substantial about my spirit body. Suppose I had to leave the third plane and to go to the fifth, sixth, or seventh plane, for good I mean, not for a visit. I know then my entire etheric body would undergo a change, the atoms would be of a still lighter kind, because the nearer I go to the God force, or life force, the more actual life force there is running through my body and holding those atoms together. Because of this greater force in the higher spheres we would require less chemical matter. On the third plane the body in the way of its chemical constituents would be very much like that of the earth plane, not so much in quantity, but the same in kind. Is it not correct that hydrogen and similar gases or chemicals can be obtained in a grosser or coarser or in a more refined state, a lighter state, lighter in pressure? Our bodies are made of the extremely refined variety. Take coal, mummy, for example, you can set it alight in the raw state, and you have a coarse flame of gas, or even if we don't light it, we know there is gas there of a coarse kind. If that gas is taken and put through certain processes, it becomes purer and more refined in nature, simply because it has passed through those processes. It has passed through and over something, and is farther from its foundation in the lump of coal. The gas is drawn from the coal and blown right across steam, and when it reaches the other side, it is caught in a purer state. Now we come to the point. The gases and chemicals that go to make up our physical bodies, we know, need not be drawn only from the surface, or just above it, of the earth plane. We have proved those gases exist some distance from the earth plane. The farther you go, the purer and more refined in nature are those gases and chemicals. Just as your physical body is made of the grosser gases which belong to the earth plane, so our bodies are made of the finer gases which exist in the air or atmosphere of our plane. I'll give you a little chart, see page 72. Draw a round for the earth, a round that puts seven circles one outside the other, for the seven spheres. Outside those, filling all space, is an enormous force, an actual force which seems to contain or consist of many strong powers or forces that we think we have discovered on the earth plane, electricity to wit, radium, etc. But there are many more still undiscovered on the earth plane, but which we know are contained in this, the God force or life force. Electricity was always there, but we did not know how to use it. I am mentioning radium and electricity because you might otherwise ask me what force it is, and why we call it a force. We know it's a force because we know that everything that has life is animated by that force, and the farther you go from the earth plane and the nearer you go to it, the more you can feel the force. Electricity is only one of the many constituents of the force, but we know there are other manifestations of power in it, but we don't know what to call them yet, as they have not been discovered on the physical plane, where God meant all his work and all his goodness to be discovered by man. Man names these things and attains consciousness and understanding and control over them. In the spirit world we don't call them by a name, we understand it's one enormous power, and we don't give it a name, we just feel it, and know it's there, but as this power penetrates through the spirit spheres and reaches the earth plane, it seems to become divided into different forms or manifestations of power, that is to say, it is in man's power to use it for different purposes. Though it seems to come in a massed condition, as it touches the earth plane it divides itself into different manifestations or kinds of power. Man has only of late years learned to use some of these powers and to draw off and conserve a certain part, such as electricity, for instance. With electricity he has learned how to draw upon, to generate it, as he calls it, which means he has learned to draw part of the massed power and to convert it to one particular species of form of power. I have told you before, the God force holds together everything on the earth plane, animates it. Take a humble thing, a cabbage, for instance. I say it's the God force, or life force, if you prefer to call it that, in that cabbage that keeps it alive. When that force is withdrawn, it dies, disintegrates. Some would be wit will say, what about the God force when it's boiled? The boiling process would eliminate some of the life force, and what remained would be changed or converted to a different form. Some people will say, it's all nonsense. The cabbage is composed of so many ounces of this, and so many drams of that. Quite right, it may be so, and it's only held there and manifested because the God or life force has projected, and is holding it there. Directly the life force is gone, one of the gases begins to get less, and the cabbage decays and gets moldy. Then another material is forced out, for it is only the life force which is keeping and holding them together. I'll give you a crude illustration. Suppose you want to make a lump of plaster. You get the dry powder and bind together with some water. The God or life force is to all atomic matter what the water is to dry matter, it consolidates it. The whole universe is full of revolving atoms, but unless they are gathered and solidified in a mass you would not see them. Take a handful of earth. Chemists, by employing certain gases, can blow that earth which is visible, and the gases employed may not be, into absolute invisibility.